Just randomly?
So this is a, if you're already into A Course in Miracles and you wonder somewhat about how it came about, some of the nitty-gritty details about the lives of people who would hear this voice that had so much wisdom that was beyond what anybody could, they're both PhDs, and they was like, this is not human. This is, whoa. It's a nice little personal account. There are other books that talk about the biography of Helen, but it's done by Ken. And you know, this is Bill himself.
And what's Bill's last name again?
Thetford.
So who abridged the, or who brought the rest of the material out and came up with the course as it is?
That guy and Helen took this massive type thing that was, they finished it and they closed it and locked it into a file cabinet and said, thank God we're done with that, and tried to get back to their lives. Then they realized that it shouldn't stay in that cabinet. They started meeting people. They thought, oh, that person should know what we did last month, you know. And so they decided to take it out of the cabinet and take another cut at it, to take some of the personal stuff out. So they did most of the editing. And then a guy named Ken Wapnick came along. And Ken instantly fell in love with the material, too, and they trusted him. And he worked with Helen and gave it titles and did some more editing. And then they met Judith Scutch, who's still alive today, the last of this merry band. And she had a small spiritual realities magazine, and it, she had the ability to publish stuff. So she was the key to being able to organize enough to actually publish the thing and make it in a final form.
Yeah. How fast did it take off?
Pretty fast. Mysteriously pretty fast, because they weren't trying to show it to people. But people who got their hands on it knew other people who needed to see it right away. And so it began to leak out. And the 100 copies, first copies they made, disappeared in days. And then the 1,000 copies they made, those disappeared. Like that.
What year about the band then?
1972. And 74 the latest. They actually got it. They started handing it out. And by 76 it was published in a book form.
She just basically word vomited it out to
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
That's
yeah, and she had her own method of shorthand. She's a teacher, and so about maybe 10% was her own invention of squirrely cues and things. And she said that the information came so fast she could hardly capture it.
Goodness.
It was just, whoa. Okay. Yeah.
So the italics, were they hers and
hers.
Bill's?
Capitalization was hers. Italics was hers. But it communicates emphasis she heard while translating it.
Okay.
She knew it. And oh, I said I would bring in that radio interview. And maybe it'd be fun at the gathering. I don't want to dilute, but I have so much to cover on that. But in that, you can hear her talk how she didn't hear a voice. Sometimes when there's a difficult translation to me, information to get, she'd see a word, like on a chalkboard, and then she would know what he meant. Otherwise, it was so clear what she was supposed to write. But she didn't hear a voice. She just knew this, then this, then this, then this. And she would get halfway through a sentence sometimes, and the phone would ring or whatever, and she'd end up getting distracted, and actually getting way distracted, taking a class, giving a class, going home, having dinner, going to sleep, and not until the next day would she pick up her pen again. And it would pick up mid-sentence and keep going.
Wow.
And it's like, yeah, this is exactly what she wrote. Yeah.
Yeah, they were just so connected, you know.
Yep.
And it just flew out.
Yeah. They had a very tough relationship. Ego.
Was it that a romantic relationship?
No. He was gay, and she was married, and ostensibly they hated each other.
Whoa.
But
were they both atheists?
But they were dedicated to each other.
One of them, she was Jewish.
Yeah,
and he was an atheist.
She was Jewish.
She
claims to be atheist. She was raised Jewish, but she claims to be an atheist.
And the other one?
And Bill,
yeah, I think it was agnostic.
So does she consider herself now non-atheist? that she channeled this? She's still believes in nothing? Or
was
it
the story of Helen?
Look at the corner.
When she was a child, she was talking to Jesus, and she asked a question. It was tripping, she asked this question, and he didn't get an answer. I said, no. I was like, no, he actually did. It was just 40 years later.
Yeah.
And there's no time, so I go, whoa, she got it, but she wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
a child. So she was like, I don't like believing God, and I'm ready to fake Hickleham and all. But she was being taught Christian stuff.
Yeah. She didn't want to be cornered on this. She said she was an atheist, and yet she'd read the Bible.
Yeah.
How many people who are atheists, you know, have enough attention to read the Bible?
Well, you know what? If you are going to be against it, you need to know what you're standing
for. There you go. All right.
All the time, so
that's
you
true.
Don't know nothing about
that's
it.
That's why I read about it.
There you go.
Read it.
Yeah.
But,
that's interesting. She said she loved the languaging. She thought it was a beautiful document.
Yeah, she liked Shakespearean
It's a good book, but you have to realize it's been manipulated.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with the Dead Sea.
Come on. All of the sources. Yeah,
and you can tell, too. Like
it's
that word shalom.
Years, you know.
Welcome to A Course in Miracles. We're starting a new section tonight. And they're so generous. Each of these sections is so generous to our awakening that we have this in our laps. We can just go to this personal message about your life, about your mind, about your awakening, personal message about your personal awakening is here on these pages.
So cool.
And on this section. Hang on. We'll get there. I just think all of us are so fortunate to have access to this deep, deep, continuing to give all in one place book, and we have each other to hold our hands as we go through this quite courageous adventure.
Amen.
To change your identity back to the truth. Amen. To change your frame of mind from something that recognizes loss to something that only knows love. To make that shift, well, you need a miracle.
Yeah.
But you need a guide, too, to get out of the darkness that is so habitually coming, and we have it. This darn book, however it came as we were talking about it, and that's why I brought that document, because you can see from somebody, ostensibly it was written for, who's so close to this material, as it came, and the things that happened in his life as this material came into existence in the dream. It kind of makes you just stop and give pause to look at A Course in Miracles. What is this? What is this doing here? That's why I brought that document in. Because every once in a while we should stop and just appreciate. This is a dream breaker. But it's also a return to love. I've never seen a document with more love in it.
Why do you say it's a dream breaker?
Because it's going to break your dream of being a body that's just here to die. And then there's nothing else.
But what if that's not your dream?
Well, good for you. Then this will just break up.
It sounds so harsh as dream breaker.
Well, there's so much involvement in only running a body. So there's a dream of only being a body, but maybe you're beyond that. That's good. There's also that happiness comes from your body being happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that's true for you. Maybe it isn't. Maybe you're beyond that one, too. There's also, if you can get another body to love you and your body, then you must be happy. Then there's that dream. And maybe you're beyond that one too.
Okay, I catch some dreams now.
Yeah. And so these are easy drugs to take.
Yeah, get another body to make sure it's got a cool frame.
Yeah, get a good frame on the body, get the checkbox going.
Yeah.
You get, I mean, now you know what to put. You got to add a new one onto the list, because that last guy, you better put another item on your checkbox. So you can be happy.
The last guy.
Yeah, the last guy. You know what he did. You need to put that on the list. You don't do that again.
You don't remember?
Oh, my God.
I repressed that
I
one.
Read about that one. Yeah.
What?
And that way you assure your happiness by something in the world. Dreambreaker. You'll never be able to manage this world to maintain your happiness and to find true love. There's lots of substitutes for love. Just show me your Netflix list. I'll get an idea of what you think is happening. There's lots of substitutes for love. But if you're reading this book, awoken in you perhaps is that there is a love that's beyond this world.
That just seems more like a dream fulfiller.
Yeah, there it is.
Happy dream.
Yeah, I mean, instead of a dream breaker sounds so like crushing.
Well, you can't have both dreams.
But no, like the enlightenment is the dream to be fulfilled.
Uh-huh. Well, it turns out the enlightenment is current. Turns out. It's not obvious from this point. But that enlightenment is current.
It's like our gift.
It's
our
actually
present moment.
Yeah, your present moment is actually fully enlightened. But the dream that you're hanging on to is blocking it.
The one in my neighbor?
That's the one.
The garage lady.
That'll do it. The garage lady.
Oh, yeah. Well, she got a nickname.
So it's blocking the presence of your enlightenment.
It's been difficult.
So we don't have to have a dream of enlightenment. Careful now. Because this is one of the metaphysics of A Course in Miracles. You don't go...
Because we just are enlightened.
Yeah, you are. But you don't know it.
Right.
Everybody turn to text page 338.
Text
page 338. I mean, it says it 100 places, but
338?
Yeah, this one comes to mind. Yeah. Look at paragraph 6. On page 338.
Yeah.
It says it all. This is the metaphysics of A Course in Miracles in one sentence. Okay? It says, look, your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself. Notice how yourself is not capitalized. All the barriers within yourself that you have built against love. Look, Jesus says, it's not necessary to seek for what is true. But, record scratch, says, it is necessary to seek for what is false. You see?
No.
You're already addicted. You're so addicted to what is false. Mm-hmm. That means that you already go to it when you need it, when you want it. It's your answer. Addiction.
It's like the emotion. You go to the emotion.
It's already there.
It's there.
And so you go to it first.
You go to it first. Oh, that's heavy.
So,
in a good way.
Before you know you're addicted, you just do these things as normal. Welcome, Course in Miracles.
Yeah. It said on the outside it was drop in, drop out anytime.
Anytime. Pull up a pillow.
Okay.
And a book right there.
There's a book right by your feet. Yeah, somebody throw her a book.
Thank you.
So the world and the ego and the idea of living in a body is so deeply accepted as normal, why would you even challenge it? I mean, wouldn't it make more sense just to make your life better? Just to go find some... If this person's a problem, go get another one. Start over. I mean, there's plenty more.
You did read that.
Yeah, I read your list. And then by changing the world, then somehow... There's all sorts of ways of then you would be happy. You know what needs to be changed so you can be happy in the world. That's the dream of being in a body. That's what you're already drunk on. That's what's obvious according to the world and your ego. But the problem is, the same nightmare keeps recurring that says, something new is wrong in the world now that I need to change to be happy. Over and over and over. So if you've read this book for a while, somewhere, somehow, a little light has come into your heart that says there is a love that is beyond all these limited approaches that you've tried your whole life. Clearly beyond it. It doesn't say, go get this person and tell them this. It doesn't say these words to your loved one. It does nothing like that is in here. There's lots of books in the world that do. But this is not that. Because we're working with your personal addiction to your ego and all its ways. We're on page 338, paragraph 6. Do you know anything about this book? Have you seen it before?
A little bit.
Cool, welcome. What's your name?
Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Lisa?
Yeah.
I'm Lisa, too. Hi.
So on 338, paragraph 6, your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself, not within the world.
There's laws.
That you have built against love. It's not necessary to seek for what is true. Of course, because the truth is true. That's what makes it true. And it's always waiting for you. Were you to do nothing else, and I mean nothing else, think heavy-duty meditation for 20 years. Get good at doing nothing. There will be love. Because you removed all the blocks. You just did nothing, and you discovered what is. Isn't that the goal of meditation? Isn't that a goal of enlightenment and a spiritual awakening? Is to try to put aside what isn't, and just sit for a moment with what is. Yeah. Sure. All right, so we're starting a new section tonight. And it is another one of Course in Miracles, and it fits with what we've been talking about. Metaphysical messages, essential messages for your personal awakening. I guess it's the good news and the bad news. I mean, you know, the bad news is nobody's coming to save you, Pam. Shit! Right. That's the bad news. You will continue to live the way that you live for as long as you choose to live that way. That's the bad news. There's nobody strong enough, powerful enough, clever enough that isn't going to be God going to change.
No, he's waiting for you to change.
Waiting, exactly. Well, that's the good news. You don't need saving. You are a free extension of creation that creates. So with your next thought, work to be a light thought, you would have light. You know this is true. If your next thought is a dark thought, you will have that. And God says, perfect. I'm good either way. It works. All God wants is your freedom. Freedom is love. Love is freedom. Freedom is love. Love is freedom. Because of what you are, it must be this way. That's good news. That's bad news. That's good news. Okay, good. So, tonight we'll embark on this discussion. And that is, what is your responsibility for your awakening? What is your part? What's your part? Let's just think about that a little bit. Just open our minds. New girl? Lisa. I can remember because her name is Lisa. I got this one tonight. We do a meditation, take it or leave it. You use a word or a phrase. And then we'll chat about it with each other. And then we'll go back to where we left off last week.
That sounds great.
Cool. 9:00, we end the meeting, hold hands, say a few nice words, and then out the door we go.
He's recording, and you can get his recordings on spiritualleader.org.
Right.
What was that?
There's 5 years of recordings at every meeting. So that
okay,
machine
but
up there.
We're not being recorded.
You're being recorded right now.
Oh, okay. Then I'm going to watch.
Yeah, good thing you changed your name. So your name's not Lisa.
And there's mine.
We have books. We have reading glasses. It's a free meeting, but contributions are very welcome. And thank you, everybody who contributes. Sometimes I take it to Costco. This is your contribution right now. What is your part? What is your part? This is a question. What is your part in your awakening? All right, Lisa, what's something you can do for your own spiritual awakening?
For me, it came immediately, and that is to tame my tongue, whether or not it's speaking verbally to someone or speaking in my head verbally to someone.
Yes.
Because I feel like if I am attached to these emotional thoughts that are non-existent but are causing some sort of, messing with my good juju, and I let them interfere, and then I start that dialogue in my head, that brings me unconnected and down, downward spiral, and then I'm disconnected from Source. So in order to be fully aligned with Source and God and the universe and Jesus and the Holy Spirit leading me, I can't have all this clutter in my mind of that inner chatter. So taming the tongue, either like whether I verbally say, "Why did you do this? Take that seat," you know?
Yes.
Or I'm in the head thinking, "That garage bitch," you know?
That's right. Yeah.
Sorry for the language, but...
No, it's really true, because your thoughts and your words are commitments to what you believe is real.
Right.
The Course says, if you want to know what you believe, look at what you are teaching. And so when you use your tongue such a way, you hear it first.
Yeah.
Even if you don't open your mouth, you hear it first. So you always get the message first, whether it comes out of you or not. And this reinforces in you what you think is real. Even if you're trying to change, this is how habits are built, isn't it? Do the same thing over and over again, and then that's your first nature. That's your habit. Change a habit, you got to change what you're doing. You got to change that.
Yeah.
Go to that first, you bet. Good, good. David, what's some aspect that would help you bring the spiritual awakening?
Well, to be, I like to catch what it, all day long, just something's going to happen. You got all this uneasiness, you get upset here and there, and all these forgiveness opportunities, so that you catch them, and whether it's a tiny one, big one, and the tiny one that I try and catch, because constantly forgive them, let them go, and never stop.
Look, if you've been doing this for a while, the big ones are easy.
Yeah, it's the little ones. What's trippy is I try to do the big ones, the hard, but if I start doing these little ones, it makes the big ones easy.
You don't have to do the big ones. You. You've been at this long enough. I know you well. You don't have, the big things aren't a problem. You got a kind of good perspective. They're tough, right? Life's tough. But you know life is tough, and you kind of got a handle on. You know how to choose peace, and you could. It's the little ones now, and this is in the book.
Yeah.
This is in the book. It says, I forget the exact sentence, but it's essentially says that now your job is these little hidden things are the hardest. It says there's no order difficulty in miracles. It says a little upset, big upset, they have the same power to ruin your day. The same. But the ego says these little things are worth getting upset about because it doesn't. It's just a little thing, and I can just get something done, and it's not. It doesn't threaten my identity or my existence. It's a little thing. But of course, Miracle says no. It's the same as a big thing. It's the same as using the F word to somebody you just told that you loved them yesterday. That's pretty serious in my book. A Course in Miracles, this is a quote. It's short, so I'm going to put some silence around it. What is not love is murder. Period. Mm-hmm. The book does that a couple of times. You see dramatic phrases to get your attention to what we're doing here. The difference between love and hate. It's the difference between love and murder. It's the same. Do you see? Because this mind wandering that he's talking about, these little things we follow away from peace, are a commitment to not love, to not join, to not be peaceful. And it makes the separation more and more real. Makes it for. Look at page 29 real quick. Just want to show you one sentence where he's right in your face. We could do a whole weekend seminar on this one page.
Let's do it.
We might someday. Be easier preparation. Look at paragraph 4. Sentence 6. He's talking to you. He's grabbing you by the shoulders and he's saying, hey.
Did you say 20?
29. 29. Paragraph 4, sentence 6. He says, look, you're too tolerant of mind wandering. And when you mind wander, you're passively condoning your mind's miscreations.
It's like complaining. They say complaining is the worst sin. And that's exactly what that is. The mind, the chatter, the wandering, the stories, whatever. It's all. I think, I'm not sure, but in the Islamic religion, they might have one commandment, do not steal. And do not steal could be applied to do not steal somebody's life, murder. Do not steal somebody's joy.
Either way, if you're doing something you don't want to do, don't do it. Stop that. Stop that. Do you swear too much and you wish you didn't? Pro tip. Don't swear. After a while, you won't be a swear.
And your mind wandering also messes with your memory.
Indeed. Yes.
You don't get that, but you go, well, I can't remember. How can I remember this other thing with my hands? You keep thinking this, can't do it. Yeah. Until you actually say, oh, heck, well, I'm not going to let that. And you start going after, stopping it, forgiving, doing whatever. All of a sudden, it's not so difficult.
So it's the opposite of vigilance.
Yeah.
Right? Vigilance means keep a watch out. Watch out. A vigil is to watch. This is like, you're not watching enough. He says, hey, wait. He said, I noticed something about you. You keep doing what you don't want to do. You keep thinking what you don't want to think, and yet you still think it. You keep saying what you don't want to say, and yet you still say it. So, in keeping with tonight's meeting, there is something you personally have to do, because nobody's going to do it for you. There's no power, actually, strong enough in anywhere. There's no power strong enough to change your mind but you. It's a big clue in what you really are. if what I said is just true, there's no power anywhere that can change your mind but you. Huge clue on your true identity. And a huge way to understand why has nobody come to save me. I said I want love. I told people all I want is love. And yet, huge clue. Brittany, give me an idea, something you can do.
So for me, it's action versus avoidance. Because I have like action that I feel like I should take for like responsibility in my life.
Yes.
That I know is love, and yet like my action says different because I'm really good at avoiding things, you know, and doing something else than what in my head I feel like that's the thing that I need to do.
Yes. Yes. Oh boy. And that drum beats louder. The more that you start to take responsibility and awaken and discover your own power, that you could actually... See, when you were younger, it was easier to be a victim because, you know, all sorts of things wouldn't let you. You didn't have enough money, didn't have enough time, it was your parents, it was, you know, who knows, all these, plenty of excuses. But as we start to get control of our lives... Now, there is something left up for you, and you know it's you. You know you can. You know you can. Ah, it's good news and bad news, right? Right?
Yeah.
I wish somebody would just do it.
I wish we could rub that lamp.
Rub the lamp! Yes, yes. Yeah. That's good.
I think gratitude is also our responsibility, because once we start being more thankful, like I write down, and a lot of people do gratitude journals.
Indeed.
And I think when you do the gratitude journal, you're aligning yourself and you're making...
What's the opposite of gratitude? Think about that and tell me when you got it. Leah.
I think for me, it's noticing that when I'm judging, I've got an opportunity to... to come out of separation.
Say again?
Mm-hmm.
I was,
you didn't catch that? When I notice that I'm being judgmental.
Yes, yes.
To notice that I'm separate.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, to notice the cost of the judgment?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This would be you committing to a spiritual awakening, because the cost you're paying with the judgment brings you the opposite direction of the freedom you seek. Yeah. Oh yeah, listen, it's super practical, because if you don't, the ego will tell you how the judgment was necessary and made you just smarter and saner, and anybody would say and do what you did and judge them the same.
Yeah.
Right? That's what the ego would say. But the cost is being ignored. You need to look at the cost so that you will gladly change your habit. Isn't that how we end addictions? Is we have to look at the cost of the addiction? The benefit is already in your head. That's why you do it. The benefit to judging, that it comes so quickly, is already installed. What we're not seeing, and we need to see more quickly, please, is the cost to whatever it is you're addicted to, so that you would personally decide not today. That has to be a first time, right? There's got to be a first time when you muster up enough courage not to repeat the pattern of anger, worthlessness, guilt, judgment. Yes. Because they just lead to the next step, don't they? You take one step in the direction into darkness. It's now just a little darker because you did. But what you don't recognize is that the momentum has begun. The feedback of the drug is starting to take hold, and you'll take a second step. So not only will you judge them, but you'll say something about it to them. Or you'll dream about in your mind what you'd like to say to them. All the while teaching yourself judgment is worthwhile and stealing from your spiritual awakening. Very good. What's your take on judgment? Now that I know that that was your...
Yeah, it was kind of mine. So I was actually thinking just more vigilance for me, because I can really easily, if I'm not vigilant or if I'm not awake or aware or present, I can easily fall into like automatic judgments. You know, something happens and it's almost it happens at the same time, it seems, as my perception.
Yes. It seems to happen at the same time as the perception. Honestly.
Yeah, and when I'm awake or vigilant,
yes,
you know, it seems like there's a little bit of space. Like I know, okay, wait a moment. This is not real. It doesn't require an immediate reaction. And sometimes buying that little bit of space allows me to see things differently.
Well said. Mm. I love every word. Buying that little bit of space. Buying that little bit of time. Buying a chance to hear another voice before I follow blindly. Absolutely. So, what will happen for you with the Course in Miracles is it'll be less expensive to buy that as you go along. You can afford it more. You will. And you'll find that there's a lot. It's an amazing, amazing occurrence. You will find that there's more time than you ever thought between the event, your perception, and your judgment. Right now, it seems to be the same time. Seems to happen all at the same time. What can you do? Nothing. What can you do? Seems that way. Mm-hmm. But it starts to get horizontal, and you can start to see that it actually takes, there's lots of time in there. And the more you advance, the more your vigilance goes up, and your awareness goes up. You'll start to see components that it will break open. And you'll have plenty of time.
I look forward to that.
To choose. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, clearly you're on your way. Beautiful. Thank you, Matt. Julie.
I was laughing during the meditation because Mario is here in spirit.
That was scary.
because I've literally there's a work situation going on. Like the biggest wrench you could possibly imagine was like thrown yesterday into like the entire organization, and tomorrow's a 6-hour meeting of having to deal with that. And so what occurred to me with this is I'm going to grab my spiritual popcorn and just enjoy this meeting, right? Like, it's not actually real. It is my dream world. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the realization after leaving work yesterday, too, is, like, I was just like, this makes no sense. It makes no sense. Like, I can't. And I was just like, And then all of a sudden, I was like, or I'm just creating it. And I just, like, laughed with myself because I'm like, I'm doing this.
Yes.
So for me, the responsibility is to recognize that this is my choice.
Yes.
And then choose again.
You.
With my spiritual popcorn.
You are dreaming this. Mm-hmm. You got some input from the world, and you've got a story already laid in. Mm-hmm. Step back, watch the movie, get the popcorn, get the spiritual popcorn. That's good. The Holy Spirit will feed you that. Very good. Good, Julie. Kenny, what's something that you can do for your spiritual awakening?
Practice and exchange the meanings.
Nice. Yeah. You see, lesson number one in this book has 365 lessons in the middle. One for every day of the year. And it comes after 670 pages of text, which is just to try to help you appreciate where those lessons come from. So maybe you'll have enough trust in the author who wrote the lessons to actually do them. Because when he starts out, a whopper comes. Number one, nothing I see means anything. That doesn't mean that nothing means anything. Well, it means literally, if you take it right, quote, nothing, underline that word, nothing means. That doesn't mean anything. Exchange the meaning of everything. I like that. Yes. Now to do that, to take what already means something to you from as many years as you've lived, with reinforcements along the way, and give it a different meaning, you're going to need a miracle, my friend. Because you're drunk on the old ways like the rest of us. But help is at hand. And you'd have to let go of those old habit ways of looking at them, because they'll come so fast. The old way of looking at things comes so fast, boy. But all you have to do, and I think you have at least once, you stopped, taking another look at it, like Julie just stepped back from the situation. Her mind was going down a rat hole. She said, now wait a minute. Let me try slowing down and turning off my own opinion of what this means for now. That's huge, folks. That's so huge for you to stop the dialogue that's already run. Stop it. Stop that. Get some spaciousness in, a little patience. That's how you hear the Holy Spirit. Turn off KEGO, which is blasting its way.
The opinion generator.
Turn that off. Turn on KGOD.
Yes. What channel is that?
Channel 1. And this is how you hear the Holy Spirit in your own mind. And then let the meaning, see? You've got to stop doing it. You don't have to come up with the new meanings. But you do have to stop applying the old one. Very good, Kenny. Carol, what's something you can do for your spiritual awakening?
Maintain the habit. That just be so vigilant about the most important thing when I wake up in the morning. I have charge of my day. And how do I want it to be? And it usually trails off if I'm not intent upon taking the time, not sleeping a little longer or something before I go to the gym, to read and meditate and really focus on what I want from the day. And being, vigilant is part of it. Anyway, it never fails if I don't do that.
Yes.
Something over here, the little shiny light or something, you know.
Yes. Look at the cost of not choosing what's most important to you already. Your happiness. I mean, it's the same for me. When I go to the, I just spend a few minutes with this book on a busy day even. The whole day just seems to shift starting from that point. I can wake up with a busy head thinking, oh my God, this, I have to do this, 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 before this, and then, oh, I forgot to do that last night. Nuts. Oh. My whole, just a couple of minutes. Sometimes I would just grab the book and random page, read it out loud. I mean, a long time ago. These days are gone now because I can just read a page to myself without looking at the book. Right? But it shifts me. I get in that instant. I read, the rededication occurs, and my whole day is shifted. The patience comes up that Julie has now chosen over this chaotic situation. Ah, and I breathe easier, and life's better. Good. To put first things first. You can do that. Nobody else can do that.
Nobody else. Beautiful. Mary, what's something you do for your own spiritual awakening?
Well, after I'd been coming here for a couple of weeks, I realized I was poisoning myself with negative thoughts about things from the past. And I was very addicted to it.
Yes.
And I was also addicted to the drama of the trauma.
Yes.
Easy. Mm-hmm. And I got it that, okay, I have to get my mind off of that.
Yes. Yes.
And I seem to be working on a lot, and it's getting easier. And sometimes, you know, a period of time will go by and I realize, oh, I didn't fall back into the old groove there.
Yes.
I kept on a positive
direction.
And that as I can break the habit, I'm really, you know, give up.
Yes, right.
Give up this thing that I thought was what I was about or something awful. And just have a loving, positive thought. I kind of see it as the stuff I want to stop doing over here and the positive, loving things over here. And if my attention ever starts going that direction, just...
Atta girl.
Put it back here.
Yep. So what you're describing beautifully, I mean, you're graphically describing what all of us wrestle with. That is forgiveness in this book. Mm-hmm. It's not in the dictionary. Not the forgiveness in the dictionary. But you're describing forgiveness in A Course in Miracles. Because you're releasing the stinking thinking. You're recognizing the negative thoughts and going, I'm not going to fill my head with that. Not going there. You see, the habits are already in place to go there. The miracles occurred that you don't have to. But forgiveness is waiting. That's your part. To release the old way of thinking. To release the desire to take the drug yet again. You've already decided, I don't want those thoughts. They don't pay. They don't pay what I want.
They don't pay rent in your head.
So I'm going to let them go and see if life is better without them.
Mm-hmm. And immediately, it's better. I don't have to wait for ages.
You don't have to wait for ages.
It's immediately a little better.
Yeah.
Or a lot better.
That's because your enlightenment is waiting for you now already. It's your freedom is already present because it's true. Your bondage, that's what's false. So in this instant, in this present moment, is your entire freedom. It's up to you.
And I can do it. All I have to do is decide to do it and keep aware.
Oh, aware.
Yes.
Keeping
yes.
aware. Ooh, that's
yes.
good one.
Keeping aware, you bet. It does get easier as you go.
Yeah.
It pays dividends and you love them. You will become addicted. Now I am. I'm addicted to peace.
Oh, yeah.
I decided that's what I want. In any situation, can I get more peace? And then let me face it now with a little more peace. Turns out I'm smarter. People like me more. I like me more. I can still sleep that night or whatever I'm going to do I did with peace. Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I've done some pretty rough stuff in peace. And I can still sleep that night. So, good. Thank you. Forgiveness. You're doing forgiveness. That's the job. That's the work. Mm-hmm. Everything else comes automatic. The forgiveness is your job. Nobody else can get in your head and make you do it. Good job. Bridget, what's something...
This week has been a big realization about being the cause and not the effect. And seeing, it was somewhere in the book that I read, right by this choice is peace.
Yeah.
You know, make it hard on yourself. It's right next there.
Yeah.
And working with a horse this week that's been refusing, just flat out refusing out of nowhere to go where I want him to go. And it's just like, he's lost his confidence, and I'm just like, I don't know, you know, Holy Spirit, I don't know, I don't understand this, I don't get it, you know. And so while working with this horse, one of the training techniques is make it easy for him. Always give him the easy way out. Make it easy. Help him. Help him. So I'm talking to him, you know, this is the easy way. This is, if not, we're going to move your feet some more, you know, and back and forth and all around. And I'm finally getting it. Make it easy on yourself. Thank you. You know, and so it just, it relaxed my whole body. I released, I don't know what, but now he's going. So it's a strange thing, but now he is moving through. We're working it out a lot better. It's not this, you know, struggle. I'm going to make you do this.
Yes.
It's just been an interesting little awareness of that being the cause and not the effect of something.
Yes.
You know, the victimizing of myself.
Yes.
Oh, that was the week before.
Yes.
But, beautiful.
Excellent. That's it. Seek no further than your own thoughts and your own mind.
That's all right there.
That's the start and the finish. This is a course in cause and not effect.
And it is. No one could do it other than me. It's just, mm-hmm. just him and me out there.
And he's in, you know, horses, dogs, spouses.
Let's stop there.
Horses are so intuitive.
So I put spouse next to dog. Isn't that better than spouse next to horse? I tried to give you a little.
Horses are so healing. So it's so beautiful to hear that, because, you know, we talked about dogs at one point, like seeing instances of the dogs, but horses have this intuition that's way bigger than any of us.
Well, look, it's the same as all of us, because when your face changes with that little mouth crinkle when you're not happy, or your eyes are a little too closed when you said thank you, and it sounded like this, thank you. I was not feeling the love. And it shows up on your face, on your shoulders, on your stance. The animal picks all that up. The dog picks that up. You guys ever see Caesar, what's his name?
Milan. Oh yeah, Milan.
Caesar Milan with the dogs?
Dog Whisperer.
Dog Whisperer. You got a family who's grown up with the dog, and they can't control the thing. This guy gets out of his car. He's never seen the dog. He doesn't even know these people. He walks up to it with a different visage, and he reaches for the lead, and the dog says, oh, life's different. Instantly, and it is. But this is true, too, with all the other people. People, you notice that people look immediately at the eyes, for example, to find out where you really, right to the eyes. There's all sorts of clues. I did 2 years ago, there's some study called Micro Expressions, and they found hundreds of little cues on the human face. They're trying to teach computers how to read the human face, so they started to categorize them. Micro expressions came out in this computer study. All the different elements of unhappiness or of doubt or of fear, or they show up in your cheeks or the way you hold your mouth, or is your head cocked a little bit when you're talking? It means something, right? All this is categorized.
So, yeah, that's what I think. Interesting is the Botox.
Yeah.
Right? It hides all your facial expressions.
Right.
It's weird. It's like,
yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And there was a question that ends up hiding expressions from you too, because muscles don't. But
yeah.
Nonetheless,
anyways.
You can't hide is the bottom line of all of this. Your thoughts do come out. Even if you're trying to stay private, there are no private thoughts. It shows up. And to the animal, same way. Since they can't speak, they don't understand English very well.
They see thoughts. Yeah, that's how you communicate with pictures, right? Yeah. David mentioned that last week, I think. And so I did. I started changing the picture of him and my tone of voice.
Yes.
And just seeing it in a different way of
yes.
He's not the...
So that nonverbal communication came out.
Yeah.
Good, good. You talk to, you moved to cause from effect. Beautiful. Thank you. Luann, what's something you can do for your spiritual awakening?
Practically everything everybody else has said.
Oh, good.
I guess there's more than one somethings in there. They all sounded the same to me. Well, I have to set aside what I think is coming from someone else, including from myself, and say what it really is going on. And I'll leave that alone and ask the voice for God to tell me.
Yes. You really do.
I really do. I don't know anything about what's going on.
You really don't. Hardest thing to say. As an experienced human who's been in charge for a long time. Mm-hmm. Turn to page 660 in your text. 660. Pretty much right in the middle of the book. Crack the book in half. It'll pretty much be right there. Mm-hmm. This is what we're studying tonight. Start at the top of the page. You there?
Sure.
Would you read for us paragraph 17?
Yes. The world can teach no images of you unless you want to learn them. There will come a time when images have all gone by, and you will see you now. You will see you know not what you are. It is to this unsealed and open mind that truth returns, unhindered and unbound. Where concepts of the self have been laid by is truth, revealed exactly as it is. When every concept has been raised to doubt and question and been recognized as made on no assumptions that would stand in the light, then it is the truth left free to enter in the sanctuary, clean and free of guilt. There is no statement that the world is more afraid to hear than this. I do not know the thing I am, and therefore do not know what I am doing, where I am, or how to look upon the world or on myself. Yet in this learning is salvation born, and what you are will tell you of itself.
This takes some courage to do this. To back off of being so sure that you know and that you have the answer and that that is strength. This really does take some courage to be able to surrender and stay and say, I want the truth. I want the truth so badly that I'm willing to be vulnerable and to say, I don't already know. Yeah.
It makes me think of the one thing that, like, there's only, and I don't know if it's in this book, but in the Bible, it's you only trust God in all your uncertainty and all your pain and trouble and everything. Yeah. It's the only thing you can really trust.
Yeah.
So, like, that voice, clearing that space.
Yeah.
That just.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the good news that we learned from studying A Course in Miracles, that there is something to trust that's worth all of your heart and soul.
The good thing about it is you don't have to make decisions for yourself.
Yes.
And how you're going to be. You can listen to the voice for God, and there it is. It will tell you.
Yes.
So it's like, that's such a, when that happens for me, it's such a free feeling. It makes me feel so happy because I don't have to know whether I'm doing what's right or wrong. I just know it's the right thing.
And how do you know? The one measure that you have is how you feel.
Exactly. It makes me feel so happy.
Sure.
So would you mind closing that window?
Oh, actually, can you throw her a blanket instead? I think it's warm enough in here that...
Yeah, you guys...
Yeah, let's throw her a blanket.
There we go. We're good.
Thank you.
There's your blankie.
So you have one power. The Course says that in your dream of being a body and separate from truth, you've made yourself separate and experiencing separation so vividly. But you still have one power. And that's the power of choice we're talking about tonight. And of course, you're you. You can't not be you. So your judge chooses to look at any instant on how you feel in that instant. And this will be your guide to whether you're going up toward the light or down toward the dark. When you make a choice of, is this a thought I shouldn't be having? Are these words that are just going to cause more headache? Maybe I'll just bite my tongue and just let them go for the nothingness that they are. You can and you must. Good one. Yes.
You're up.
Yeah, she was right. You all were right. It's like, oh, yes, yeah. But for me, like, before we went round robin, I was just thinking, just let it be. Apparently, I am the best gatekeeper ever. Because nothing gets in. I might know it intellectually.
Yes.
I might get a little glimpse of it.
Yes.
Feeling. But, maybe not. So I'm just a really good gatekeeper, so I just have to get in my way, basically.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, beautiful.
So, we're working on that.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, a good time to start. This is a great day to start.
That's it. It seems like just a simple solution, but it just seems so.
You bet.
I think it's a Swedish proverb. There, the secret is there's no key.
Yeah, but you know, yes.
Well, you know what? This is why the book is more than one page. We're already dedicated to what we know and what we trust, but there's an inkling somewhere that says there's a better way. And the book, I think, graciously goes on and on and on, page after page, saying the same thing over and over, just a few degrees of different perception. It's the same thing now. It's saying that you'll recognize more and more. It's the same message of freedom, that it's up to you, and you have the ability to do this. And you're so surrounded by love that the minute you stop choosing hate or fear or doubt, you will discover this very love you've been seeking the whole time was already here and now. But it was being blocked by some image or thought of another time, another place, that something had to change first. This is the whole message of A Course in Miracles. I just said it again, and there's 1,000 times it says this in different ways. But it would take some courage to be able to take those few moments before you judge. It takes faith to actually not speak right away when the whole sentence is in your head and there's two or three more ready to come behind that already. And you haven't even said the first one yet. It takes some real courage to step back and let your Holy Spirit lead the way. Oh, the Holy Spirit is such a wimp. He doesn't swear. Usually. He's like peaceful. He wants the other person, give the other person a chance to speak their mind first. How am I supposed to win an argument that way? It takes courage. The dividends that are paid from turning on your loving willingness in any given moment to have the Holy Spirit teach you how to be loving in that moment, those dividends can last an entire lifetime. They can change an ugly situation that can last an entire lifetime to a beautiful conversion that can become beauty
for a lifetime. But it takes courage. The old way, the old habits are already running. Mm-hmm. So that's it. You got your finger right on it. That's why the book is as long as it was 365 lessons. And you have to come. It says do one a day. Don't do six a day. It takes time.
I wanted to weigh in on that because we talked about it last week too, that that step that you take may be one of the hardest that you take. And what is so powerful is you don't have to actually do the undoing. That part is like the part that actually, like, you don't have to think your way out. That part is done by the Holy Spirit. And it's really, I know I say that, I actually used to not like even using that phrase because I was like, what is that anyway? It's still your own mind. But for me, my ego wants to like solve it in my own head. And the beauty of this is I actually don't have to. When I let it be, I actually don't have to. But that step of like actually letting it be is like really, you know, can feel really hard.
It's funny you said that. We haven't talked for months and months, like, I mean, we're talking, we're both kind of like in this pissing, you know, go, it's like, we should go. You know, it's like, I know I should go because I'm in a mood, and that's, of course, when you should go, and I'm like, I'm just not in the mood, it's like, just go.
I'm saying you have a me today.
Yeah, just so not in the mood.
Something else, I'm like, no, I'm grumpy.
Yeah, it's, so it's obviously,
yeah,
that's okay, it, yeah. Yes,
nice.
Better.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm. Look at page 298, paragraph 6, sentence 1. 298, paragraph 6, I think. 298. No, paragraph 7. Paragraph 7, sentence 1.
You want me to help?
Read that for us, Pam.
Oh, boy. You cannot be your guide to miracles, for it is you who make them necessary.
You cannot be your guide to miracles. Because it's you who made them necessary in the first place. We found the problem, and it's you. Oh, I love that. So, Pam, tell us something you could do for your own spiritual awakening.
If you can't think anything nice, don't think anything at all.
Oh, amen. I love it. Yes. Yeah. Just stop that.
Oh, yeah.
Stop that noise.
The problem is, what does it take to stop it?
Well, start with not doing anything else.
It doesn't matter. You know? Yeah. It just doesn't matter because it's... You don't judge it. You just don't do it.
There's a whole section called I Need Do Nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a whole section.
Mm-hmm. Called what?
I Need Do Nothing.
I Need Do Nothing? Like me talk pretty?
But essentially, it means you need to get started right now.
Yeah, Need Do Nothing.
With doing nothing. Because you're so busy doing something.
Where is
it? Is it in the text? I Need Do Nothing.
Not the page.
I don't have the pages, but it's roughly 380.
Probably.
Yeah, like 386.
You know, I just realized that, so I'm going to have you keep doing that as soon as I'm done talking.
And then do me when you're done.
Because I want more.
Does the line go this way or does the line go that way?
You know, I don't think I've given much thought to, like, what's... am I listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit in my day-to-day life? Like, I haven't really breached that yet.
Yes.
Until just now. Oh. And I've been trying, especially in marriage, to be willing to be influenced. Oh. So to just, before coming straight to the defense, to just go, let me see if I can be willing to be influenced here. Mm-hmm. And when I allow myself to be influenced, I think that one that's telling me to be influenced, that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, so I just said that for myself out loud.
I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit could care less what happens in your life. Mm-hmm. Cares everything about what happens in your mind and your heart. And knows that it's not your life that's going to bring you these things. It's your mind and your heart. And if the ego's been driving,
It cares about you letting go of your ego, whatever way possible. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit will guide that way. Good, good.
Matt, you know, it's occurring to me that the let it be and the you need not do anything is sort of the same as thy will be done.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Whoa. Yes. Like that came up the other day, and I was like, that's such a powerful, it's like, whatever is,
yeah.
I'm allowing
it is.
Yeah.
You're allowing is to be. Mm. Can't go wrong with that.
So, yeah. Let's circle about chatty since I've been here last week. Just saying. I just wanted to say, too, that, a few things, but everything that every page you've sent us to in the circle, I've highlighted already. I mean, it's already been, highlighted and underlined and all this.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's been about a year. I don't know how long it's been since I was here. A year?
No. Yeah. No, we were here not too long.
Okay, so it seems like a year. But anyway, it's been a while.
Seems like a year to me.
Yeah,
a whole ancestor.
I don't know. But, there's diligence is just, it's that little willingness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's that little willingness, because that's why you don't have to do.
Yep.
You don't have to do it. You just have to be, just be willing. That's all. And I can't believe how this world is designed. The effect, you know how much I mean, look at the colors. Like, you know how much I love this book.
You love this book.
I love this book.
This is the way out for you.
I know. And I've loved it in other states, and I've loved it here.
Yes.
It's like, I love this book, and in this year of not being in it at all, like having to, take things off it to come here tonight, I was like, no. And the impetus for coming was, that's cool. And so, wow, it's just you're so easily worn down.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know this book.
Yeah.
I know this book. Yeah. I've done this in my bones.
Yes.
And yet, in this year, however long it's been.
Yeah.
It's just like...
The book is patiently waiting.
I mean, and I had a very real reality of this not long ago in a, I had a really strong visual of just this energetic tide that was happening.
Yeah.
And it's irrelevant. It's like, I'm good either way. It's like, I work in a health food store, and we say that all the time. When somebody does or doesn't want to take what you're recommending, it's like, hey, I'm good either way. You know what?
Uh-huh.
It's so true. And that's...
Your Holy Spirit has been with you this whole year that you've taken off. Yeah. Did an ego vacation, maybe?
I'll tell you what. I mean,
Holy Spirit's crazy. Been there taking notes the whole time, awesome. Waiting. And you, as many times as you've looked at this book, it's a new book now.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny to see the passage of time through my little goofy notes in this book. I just tonight opened it up and read about my dog's birthday, which was yesterday, 2 years ago, when I was sitting here with you, and it's like, wow. Yeah, passage of time. So, as much as there is no time, it's interesting in this small s self.
Yeah.
What happens when you're not here? And when you're not here or in here.
Yeah.
And it's not as much work as you think. Mm-hmm. And I love what you were saying, because I know that feeling so much of oh my God, this is so much easier. It's
just so much easier,
It is.
It's easier than you thought.
Quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker and easier, and before you know it, you're the warrior, you're the peaceful warrior.
Right, yeah. And also you discover that the one who would have trouble, that your thought system would have trouble doing it, is not the one who does it.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Wait, what?
The one...
Kicking and screaming.
The mind that kicks and screams is not the part of the mind that does this work.
Yeah.
The ego would have a hard time following A Course in Miracles.
It would never do it.
It would never do it. Have a hard time doing it. The addict...
It's suicidal.
The addict would have a hard time not taking the drug it loves. If you had to give a word, you have to give identity to an addict. The addict mind that knows a drug, uses a drug, basically teaches you this is the way, don't do anything else.
that would not stop taking the drug. But good thing is that when you break out of the addiction, it's not the addiction that stops. You've somehow moved your mind to another space. Freedom has shown up, and it does not do that. So that, it's easy now. It's easy to move your mind away from those ugly thoughts when it's peace that's calling you to do it, or joy, or freedom, or recognizing how much easier it is to breathe when you're not so angry. And I like to breathe. It definitely is a better way to live. And it's easy to do very hard things. They would be otherwise very hard. To bite your tongue is really hard because you have these great things to say, but they don't bring the peace that you want. So as you start to get accustomed to getting what you want and it's peaceful and you like it, you'll do it more. It's like a whole new addiction. Unless addicted to peace and freedom. Good. Yes.
So the Holy Spirit or inner voice, whatever have you, is it constantly talking to you and you just once in a while go, oh, alright, I'm hearing it, or is it like a radio that's going on and you just eventually tune into it sometimes?
That's a great question, and it's so important that it's treated as one of the lessons, and you practice the answer to your question all day. You know the title, Julie?
No.
God's voice speaks to me all through the day. Now, the answer is it's available, but you don't listen.
Clearly.
And that's what it's saying. It's saying that it's available all through the day, because your lived experience might be, no, my ego's voice speaks to me all through the day, and I can prove it, because I've been angry all day. But by the time you get to that lesson, you've taken a step back, and you said, there is another way. I want that other way. And then you get the shift occurs on how you're going to face the chaos. And that answer was waiting for anything else you're dealing with all through the day. But there's something you have to do.
Which is all the things that we've just talked about.
Which is all the things we've talked about.
Okay.
You have to step back.
And then I can have the spiritual popcorn.
Yes, and you will enjoy how it tastes.
Okay, great. Okay.
With a metaphysical butter.
A little bit of salt.
I'll throw in one other comment, which was just that I think maybe the only thing I haven't heard is ask for help if you can't.
Really? Hello? I like to remind everybody that every once in a while. That you know, if you're wondering what would a good prayer be for this particular situation, you can't go wrong with help.
Because if you are relying on your own strength,
it's not bad.
If you are relying on your own strength, you have every reason to be apprehensive.
All right, high five, fist bump.
That's my all-time fave.
Yes. It's a really short prayer, and it's honest. And it sounds like this: help.
God likes it. He likes it simple.
Oh, yeah.
He don't want to hear you mumbling.
He don't want to hear you mumbling on and telling you all about it. Hey, God, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I think you should do, God, so my life can be better. He's like, ah, la, 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 la. Just let me know if you mean it. Help. Do you mean it?
Careful what you ask for, you might get it.
Yeah. Lisa, what would you do for your own spiritual awakening?
Rest.
Nice. Mm-hmm. She says rest.
Rest.
You know, which is so much required in the I need do nothing. You're so busy in figuring it out, doing, preventing, even trying to be a good person. So busy trying to do the right thing that the true right thing just is out of reach. Like we read on page 298, you, the you who's so busy, can't be your guide to miracles. Miracles is a shift in perception towards the truth. You can't be your guide to miracles because it's you who made them necessary, you goody two-shoes. You innocent, loving person, all you want is love and to be love and to give love, and yet this bleep thing happened today. That's the you we're talking about. You've made miracles necessary with that attitude. Good.
Also, it's letting go of the rest. It's like, I don't know that I've ever really given myself permission to rest or grown up with that. And, you know, a lot of disease can manifest and stress and striving and all of that. And so the best thing to do is to rest, either spiritually or physically, and yet I don't seem to feel worthy or able to do it as much as I'd like. So that
You make a great comment. As part of the value that I found in this, my spending time doing A Course in Miracles, my type A personality, I got permission to go still and actually do some of these meditations. I got permission to start my day with something that's only a paragraph sometimes. It's all you get for the whole lesson is one paragraph. Okay, I'm just going to do that. I'm just going to read this paragraph and get on with my day. Wow! That little permission to rest. That's how I got hooked. Because it has the answers, even so few words. Rest indeed. Permission to rest. Good. Don, something that you personally can do for your spiritual
Accepting.
Acceptance.
Just accepting everything for what it is in the moment.
Ah. Is...
I had the fast track to this, honestly.
Yeah.
It's like all the stuff that everyone died.
Learned
all this suffering on the street and stuff. So, and being an addict, so
yes,
a prisoner. So I broke free of that prison. So I feel freedom. Never every single freaking minute of the day is freedom to me. If you've never been an addict, you don't get it.
Yeah.
So, at any moment I can, I'm in the moment.
Yes.
Like, my life's changing every minute, and everything is just, you know, accepting, not only accepting what's happening, I'm only accepting people how they are.
Because they are the way they are, and they're not changing.
I'm not judging.
This came out in Elie Wiesel's book from the concentration camp. And he would say, until you've been in a German concentration camp and watched all your family get killed, mm-hmm. and you smell the fire that they burned in, you don't get it. Mm-hmm. He would say that, mm-hmm. right? But you know what? It's all the same level. A Course in Miracles will teach you. Mm-hmm. It's true what you said, but it's all the same level. And I learned this in AA. So I have family members in AA, so I've got to go to a bunch of meetings. It is, I don't know how many people have been to an AA meeting, but man, that is a spiritual thing. It's about alcohol and stopping drinking. It's, clearly, it's right on the things that hang on the wall. I mean, that's what they're there for, but it's a spiritual meeting. And it's an ego challenge. The reason why you drank is because you had an ego problem. Mm-hmm. So I'm in there, A Course in Miracles guy, and there's tears coming in my eyes. And I'm like, man, this is A Course in Miracles! Oh my God! So somewhere they said, one of these meetings I went to, somebody said that they were blessed by desperation. Mm-hmm. And they had to stop drinking because they were not going to be able to keep their job. Or their spouse says, if you don't stop, I'm leaving, and I'm taking the kids.
I get desperation.
What?
I think it's the gift of desperation.
Is it the gift of desperation? Mm-hmm. So, wow.
What you said is fine. I just know it is the gift.
But aren't we the same way with our ego? And if you had enough, if you lived long enough waking up with the same ugly thoughts, aren't you getting a little desperate for another way?
Yes.
And when this book in Lesson 34 says, I could choose peace instead of this. You know what the this is. In your personal life, you know exactly what the this is. And it says, I could choose peace instead of this. And by that time you get to page 34 in the workbook, you've already gone through about 700 pages of A Course in Miracles, and you're starting to believe there is another way, and I want it. I think I'll just start today. And then you do. And then yeah, you know. And nobody can ever take that away from you. There's no going back. It's up to you. Just no going back. You can delay for a year. But you knew the whole time. the whole time, you knew.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. True to that.
I think that desperation is what drives people. Like, they always, I mean, a lot of people find God when they're desperate and stuff.
Right.
But that desperation kind of drives you for that connection and that wholeness feeling. Or
it's useful.
Yeah.
Right? And so Elie Wiesel said in his concentration camp, and he tried everything, and there was nothing to do left but change his mind so he could be at peace. Mm-hmm. Because that world was just not getting better. There just was nothing of hope left.
Reminds me of that movie, Life is Beautiful.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Concentration camp, yeah. Okay, trying to make progress with this book, okay? So let's go to page, and just say we did. Page 432 is where we are tonight. And we have just enough time to read these 9 paragraphs. 8 paragraphs. We can do it.
432?
432 in the text. David, bring it.
Okay. Entering the ark. Nothing can hurt you unless you give it the power to do so. Yet you give power as the laws of this world interpret giving as you give, you lose.
We'll talk about that later.
It is not up to you to give power at all. Power is of God, given by Him and reawakened by the Holy Spirit. Who knows that as you give, you gain? He gives no power to sin, and therefore it has none. Nor is it, or is its results as this world sees them. Sickness and death and misery and pain. These things have not occurred because the Holy Spirit sees them not and gives no power to their seeming source. Thus would He keep you free of them. Being without illusions of what you are, the Holy Spirit merely gives everything to God, who has already given and received all that is true. But untrue, He has neither received
no again. I'm going to try not to interrupt so we can just read through this. Brittany?
Sin has no place in heaven, where its results are alien and can no more enter than can their source. And therein lies your need to see your brother sinless. In him is heaven. See sin in him instead, and heaven is lost to you. But see him as he is, and what is yours shines from him to you. Your Savior gives you only love, but what you would receive of him is up to you. It lies in him to overlook all your mistakes, and therein lies his own salvation. And so it is with yours. Salvation is a lesson in giving, as the Holy Spirit interprets it. It is the reawakening of the laws of God in minds that have established other laws and given them power to enforce what God created not.
Matt,
your insane laws were made to guarantee that you would make mistakes and give them power over you by accepting the results as your just due. What could this be but madness? And is it this that you would see within your Savior from insanity? He is as free from this as you are, and in the freedom that you see in him, you see your own. For this you share. What God has given follows his laws and his alone. Nor is it possible for those who follow them to suffer the results of any other source.
Those who choose freedom will experience only its results. Their power is of God, and they will give it only to what God has given to share with them. Nothing but this can touch them, for they see only this, sharing their power according to the will of God. And thus their freedom is established and maintained. It is upheld through all temptation to imprison and to be imprisoned. It is of them who learned of freedom that you should ask what freedom is. not the sparrow, how the eagle soars. Mm-hmm. Where those little wings have not accepted for themselves the power to share with you.
Mm-hmm. The sinless give as they received. See then the power of sinlessness within your brother, and share with him the power of the release from sin you offered him. To each who walks this earth in seeming solitude is a Savior given, whose special function here is to release him, and so to free himself. In the world of separation, each is appointed separately, though they are all the same. Yet those who know that they are all the same need not salvation, mm-hmm. and each one finds his Savior when he is ready to look upon the face of Christ and see him sinless.
Mm-hmm. The plan is not of you, nor need you be concerned with anything except the part that has been given you to learn. For he who knows the rest will see to it without your help. But think not that that he does not need your part to help him with the rest. For in your part lies all of it, without which is no part complete, nor is the whole completed without your part. Mm-hmm. The Ark of Peace is entered two by two, yet the beginning of another world goes with them. Each holy relationship must enter here to learn its special function in the Holy Spirit's plan, now that it shares his purpose. And as this purpose is fulfilled, a new world rises in which sin can enter not, and where the Son of God can enter without fear, and where he rests a while to forget imprisonment and to remember freedom. How can he enter to rest and to remember without you? Except you be there, he is not complete. And it is his completion that he remembers there.
This is the purpose given you. Think not that your forgiveness of your brother serves but you two alone. For the whole new world rests in the hands of every two who enter here to rest. And as they rest, the face of Christ shines on them, and they remember the laws of God, forgetting all the rest and yearning only to have his laws perfectly fulfilled in them and all their brothers. Think you, when this has been achieved, that you will rest without them? You could no more leave one of them outside than I could leave you and forget part of myself.
You may wonder how you can be at peace when, while you are in time, there is no such much. There is so much that must be done before the way to peace is open. Perhaps this seems impossible to you, but ask yourself if it is possible that God would have a plan for your salvation that does not work.
Did you see that, Luann? Were you paying attention while she was reading?
Once you accept his plan as the one function that you would fulfill, there will be nothing else. The Holy Spirit will not arrange for you without your effort. He will go before you, making straight your path and leaving in your way no stones to trip on and no obstacles to bar your way. Nothing you need will be denied you. Not one seeming difficulty, but will melt away before you reach it. You need take thought for nothing, careless of everything except the only purpose that you would fulfill. As that was given you, so will its fulfillment be. God's guarantee will hold against all obstacles, for it rests on certainty and not contingency. It rests on you. And what can be more certain than a son of God?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Beautiful. Let's have a circle.
What can you do now for your own personal spiritual awakening? What is your part so that you, starting now, can be at peace, can be more loving? All these beautiful things we heard tonight. They did have a few things in common, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Step back. Step back. The ego speaks first and it speaks loudest. But it doesn't have to. It doesn't. It's doing what you hired it to do, and it's doing great. The ego is, it's not a foe. It doesn't have any power other than what you give it. You don't have to follow it. You don't even have to hear it. This is the part that you do. Is you, whatever you think you are, know that you have the power to step back and to hear the better way. And it's waiting patiently in you to be heard. That's your part. Good, good. Thank you. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Good job, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna give you a